Preston and Steve Fun Size.
Good news is, ladies and gentlemen, we found John Schneider.
Oh, my God.
We found him.
We've been looking for three things today. We found two of them.
Yeah, we were looking for our associate producer, Marissa. We found her. What was the other thing?
Cecily Tynan's dog.
Cecily
we're still
Tynan's
looking
dog,
for Cecily
which we're still looking
dog,
for.
Yeah.
But we found John Schneider.
Yeah.
Good morning,
my
John.
My gosh. Hey, how are you?
Good. Nice to see you.
You know, I'm a victim. I'm a victim of the walking app on my GPS.
Oh, do tell.
I love to walk. Well, I was lost.
Okay.
And it said I was like right here. And you know what? It was so interesting about the time we live in now. I was across the street at one, how do you say it?
One Bala.
One Bala.
Yeah. Right?
And
yeah.
I said to like four people, where is, no, that's two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were
yeah,
in the
yeah,
park.
Where's
two?
One Bala.
That's
yeah.
two
so
Bala
I was
over
at
there.
Two.
Yeah.
And it says big two Bala yeah. Plaza, and I said, "Where is one?"
Uh-huh.
Nobody knew.
Nobody knows. I know.
Nobody. And
it's so weird.
I was across the street, so I was here in spirit.
So you're by Saks. But were you using an app where you were trying to follow along on a map at all?
Yeah.
Because I
walking.
Sometimes I'll use the Google Map app, and I'll put on walking.
Yes.
And then it won't. Go
you
in
go
the
in
direction
circles.
That you're walking.
That's exactly
in.
It. It
yes.
told me. It
I
told
to
me you were in the third
down.
Parking space from Saks
right.
over there. That's where I'm
okay.
supposed to be.
It
right
is
now.
Erroneous. They really need to, brush
it.
Those up. The Google one, and Google is probably the preeminent map for yeah. that. But the walking app.
It will. It will get you within. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
So John,
I found that, but it knows what lane you're in.
I know.
John calls me because he's lost, and I'm looking out our window in the production studio, and John says, I'm wearing a gray shirt, and I'm waving, and I see him. So,
when you say you're in the building that's under construction, there's a building right across the street.
Yeah, also,
it's also
under construction. Yeah.
So I'm going over there. I'm talking to the guy on the condor going, dude, where's the radio station?
I think
man,
I know that
I don't
guy.
Know, man. I don't know.
I'm so glad
I think
you
it's like everywhere. It's in my head.
Oh, man.
So anyway, it's great to be here.
It's great to have you. We're very excited. I just consigned this to Not Gonna Happen, and then here you are, so we're very happy.
Well, John's going to be performing at the Sellersville Theater tonight at 8 o'clock, so just to give a heads up as to why you're in town.
That's why I'm in town.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing this since before Dukes.
Right.
So really, I'm a guy with a guitar. I was that long haired guy in high school in the 70s with a guitar in my back.
I always thought that the country stuff and the music sort of came after Dukes, and then doing a little reading on you. That's always been your thing.
It's always been my thing.
Yeah,
I was the tip jar guy, right? So I've loved music. I've played music for my whole life. My dad played in a square dance band, so you know. And I grew up in the '60s, so I grew up when the Birds. I'm looking at the Birds.
Oh yeah,
over there.
Yeah.
The Birds were rocking it, and the Stones were, of course, they're still around. It's amazing.
How'd you get that love of? How did country become a thing when you were? So you're New York. You moved to
Atlanta.
Well,
I'm New York, but you know, New York is dairy farm country. Really, when you get out of the city. So,
it's true, yeah.
Yeah, my dad was a big country music fan. My mother was a big country music fan. So,
were you Mount Kisco?
Mount Kisco.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm more like Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
All right. Okay. I love Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
I'm more that guy. And the Allman Brothers and Southern Rock and that kind of that
all
kind
right.
of stuff. It's but, you know, Gordon Lightfoot was pretty new in the
60s. Yeah.
So, you know, I grew up with a great love for really wonderful lyrics. And then Dukes came around, which was terrific. I love the Dukes of Hazzard. But it was so funny after that. Everybody said, oh, wow, so now you're going to sing. And I'm thinking, no, so now I'm going to act.
I remember thinking, Preston, you probably had the same thing. Like, this guy trying to sing. You know?
Well, yeah, the same thing was with Rick Springfield and a few other people who are legitimately talented
musicians.
And got into, you know, creatively heading towards a music career. But, you know, some of these cross over a little bit. And, yeah, I can act. Sure, I'll try it and go out. And next thing you know, they start to have a career there, and then you want to go back to what your real love is.
Right, and then nobody, it's not that they won't let you, but it's like,
you're pigeonholed.
They don't want. Yeah, they don't want football players to be able to play tennis.
Right.
Right. So that was certainly crochet.
Rosie Greer did
exactly. Rosie Greer.
to that point, it's got to suck, but it's also a blessing and a curse. You're 17, right, when you audition for Dukes?
Yeah, 18.
All right, yeah. And you get it.
I get it.
Yeah. And you're
get it. And then the show is a monster. A monster hit. And you know what's interesting, though, now is I'm on a show that when now I get recognized from the haves and have-nots.
Yes.
Which is the Tyler Perry Show. It's on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Number one on Tuesday nights for 6 years in a row.
It's pretty wild.
It's pretty wild. But even the haves and have-nots fans will go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I love the Dukes of Hazzard.
Well, me, I'm a Smallville fan, too.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'm a massive.
You Lex Luthor, you.
Yes, I've cultivated the look, yeah. But you, there are many things that I've always, I remember initially I was like, I enjoyed the show, the Dukes, and I was, but I also had those things where like, ah, oh, this guy is, you know, it's just a natural reaction to a guy who's impossibly good looking and talented. So I'm like, I'm jealous.
And lost in the parking lot.
So, but then I'm like, I really like this guy. And then it was actually, I think it was when Smallville kicked in. When you were just such had such a good paternal quality to you, and
oh, thank
I guess
you.
This guy can really act. He's good.
I see it up on your screen right there.
There
right
you now. Go. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you know what's interesting? Yes,
I was going to say. Now, Tom Wolpat, who we had in the studio here as well, he sings. He does Broadway or you know stage musicals and things like that. Did the two of you on the set of Dukes? Did you try a music thing together, harmonizing, singing, trying to get some more?
Oh, we would sing in the car
just
all
for
the time.
Fun.
Yeah,
but,
just for
but
fun.
You never really
a lot of Credence. A lot. Yeah, we would just sing harmony from you know Hee Haw.
Okay, your voice is so. When did that voice kick in? Because you've got a very resonant voice.
I did. Thank you. I did a record called Small One when I was 15.
15.
And I played like a guy that sounded like I sound right now.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I did Fiddler on the Roof at 14. 13 and 14 years old.
And you sounded like this?
Well, I sound a little deeper in the morning now than I did, but pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I was like, $40, give me 40. Who's going to give me 40? At 15 years old. You know, but the acting thing I find, you know Mount Kisco. So Westchester County, when you watch any of the cop shows and the kids have gone wrong because they're too rich, they say, well, they're from Westchester.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's where I'm from. So when you're from Westchester and the first thing you play is a hillbilly,
mm-hmm.
then you're a hillbilly. But if you're from, you know, two shoes and a bowling ball, Kentucky, and you play a New York cop, you're an actor.
Right.
Yeah. What
no,
the hell?
Right, right, you know, right. There is a reverse sort of thing. But
people still say, well, but you weren't acting. That was just, I said, dude, I'm about as southern as a slice of, you know, a really good slice of original Ray's pizza. what are you talking about?
I always thought that, though. It's funny, the perception.
Because I'm so damn good.
Yeah. It's true. It's true, though. And
Kathy, you've got to stop. You've got to just stop taking over all the conversation here.
She's our stenographer, by the way. In a court of law, she'll make sure this all holds up.
So. Oh, terrific.
I had to
mention court.
You started? Oh, yeah. Well, right. Listen, you're all good now, right?
You brought it up.
No, yeah. It's still going on. It's longer than the Civil War. Yeah.
I know you decided you wanted to take time behind bars as opposed to paying whatever fine you were supposed to pay.
Absolutely.
If I recall correctly.
Boy, you should have seen the look on his face.
Yeah?
The judge?
You mean, yeah. When I said, Your Honor, can I go to... I can't go when you want me to go. Can I go now?
Yeah.
What?
Now. When you say now, what do you mean? I said, I mean now. Now. Like, when you say, we're done today, can I go to jail?
Yeah.
I don't know. bailiff, is that, can we make that? And this is a guy that a month before was saying, I will track you down and find you and send you to jail.
Right.
And he doesn't even know how to send somebody to jail. This is an appointed judge. This is a friend of a friend who is now, you know, out there changing people's lives one sentence at a time.
Yeah.
And when it's all over, if I have... we're doing a Christmas movie this year.
Okay.
If it
Hallmark?
Is, I think it... No. It's We own it ourselves.
Okay.
It's about the flag on the car and the whole thing. So, you know, we've got to distribute it ourselves.
Right. Oh, okay.
So we could sell a bunch of copies of it. If we do, and I have an extra rattle in my pocket, I'm going to throw it at a lawyer in California, and I'm going to try to get this guy disbarred.
Wow. Really?
Yes. He was absolutely after me for some reason, and I don't know why.
So to explain the deal, it was an acrimonious divorce, correct? And you're being asked to pony up what was...
I was being told, ordered to pony up what was an absurd amount of money.
Right.
And
you had no recourse.
Right. And I had, except I had proof that I had lost. That was 2016.
Right.
We had the 100-year flood followed shortly by the 1,000-year flood.
And destroyed and your production.
Destroyed everything twice.
Right.
So in between, we rebuilt because that was never going to happen again. So it was terrible. I owe so much money on trying to recover from 2016.
Right.
So I had... They're called tax returns.
Uh-huh.
And apparently the judge had not seen them before. So I had tax returns that showed beyond the shadow of a doubt that I lost $350,000 in 2016.
Right.
And because the woman that filed the tax returns did not actually, you know, put the receipts together herself, and nobody does, right?
Yeah.
So the her lawyer said, Did you file the tax returns? Yes. And they, what do they show? They show Mr. Schneider lost $350,000. Let me ask one more question. Did you put the receipts together? No, I did not. It's hearsay, Your Honor. She has no way to authenticate those receipts. This is what he said. This is why I'm going after him.
Yeah.
You know, counselor, people lie on their taxes all the time. Sustained.
What?
So I went from being a guy who lost $350,000 in a year and had nothing. Certainly no ability to pay $19,000 a month in temporary spousal support. Hello. Yeah. To a guy who had millions of dollars and just didn't want to pay.
Pony it up.
Yeah, and that's why I went to jail, because that's contempt. If you can and don't, that's contempt. I thought I proved, and I still believe that I proved, because I know I was there, I couldn't do it.
It's a nightmarish thing to be. It's got to be also a soul-sucking thing to go through. Because I saw a picture of you. You were standing, I figured a reporter maybe from Extra or something, standing by the property that had been leveled like twice from the storms.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
And they didn't care. That's the thing. It wasn't like, well, you know, Mr. Schneider, you've been through hell. We're not going to drag you through anymore. But I tell you what, some great music came out of it.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. You know, they say you can't sing the blues until you've lived them.
Right.
Well, I've got one song that starts, well, her lawyers got to me, so I got gone. There's the flood right there. Got tired of that road I was traveling on. Between the judge and the jail and my future ex-wife, Lord, it's a wonder I'm still alive.
Yeah.
So, it's good. I'm glad on one of those odd, you know, actors can turn chicken crap into chicken salad thing. So I'm delighted in that regard, because now I have a different posture.
Chicken essence? Yeah. Let me ask you, have you always been, because every time I've ever seen you interviewed throughout your entire career, you've always been very candid and very self-effacing. Is that something that you've always, I mean, is that your way, or you're just?
It must be.
It must be.
Because I don't even know what that means. No, yes, that is. I think if you're awarded with celebrity of any kind, that you need to be a real person.
Yeah.
And you need to be whoever it is that... when people have problems when they've created something that become a celebrity. Mm-hmm. And then they have to... It's kind of like a lie. You have to keep telling a lie over and over again, and which means it's harder to remember as you get older what the hell you've been lying about.
Not like,
I just tell the truth.
Like Hugh Grant. I always point to Hugh Grant. And not that you were caught in the car with a hooker, but...
No, I locked the door.
But here's a guy who had a story that could have been a career killer and just met it head on. Yeah. And just, boop, yep.
Well, and, yeah, absolutely.
And I've seen so many people who seem to know how to take a situation and diffuse it. And so many people who don't and end up just confounding the issue that much more.
Well, the way to diffuse any issue is just to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And then what are you going to say to that?
Yeah.
How can you possibly have a problem with that?
Right.
Although in court, I was the same guy in court.
And it bit you in the ass.
Well, you know, for a short amount of time, it is going to bite him in the ass.
Okay.
And it's bit her in the ass. Because there isn't anything, and I got a great quote out of it. You cannot, and because he said, well, you know, counsel, you can't get blood from a turnip. That's what he said to her. And I said, you know, that's true, but you can't apparently throw a turnip in jail for not bleeding.
If I may geek out for a second.
Yes.
I follow you on Instagram, and I posted a video of Tiger winning the Masters back in April, and for whatever reason, you saw it and you liked it. And all of a sudden... John Schneider is liking one of my Instagram posts, and I grew up a fan just like Casey did and like we all did, and it was just sort of a surreal moment. And I know you're a man and a musician and an actor and everything that you are, but you're also a celebrity. You also carry a bit of fame around with you, and so it's sort of transcended.
In the parking lot.
Yeah, and you get, but you're also the guy that gets lost in the parking lot on the way to your radio station interview. But since then, I've really admired how you interact with your fans and following you and seeing your not only your music career, but also just the way you've embraced the history with the Duke Boys and all of the conventions that happen and all of the things with the General Lee. It's really cool. And so from a fan's perspective, it's neat to see somebody embrace who they are and not shy away from it.
Well, thank you. I mean, like Popeye, I am what I am.
Yeah.
So I love Dukes. Excuse me. I love the whole notion of it. We did this movie, Christmas Cars. There's an event happening this weekend in Virginia that I'm not at because there's a bit of a rift now between Ben.
Oh,
the congressman? And I. The congressman. The once congressman, yeah.
Cooter? Played Cooter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and well, so you didn't really bring that up, but I'm going to bring it up because I'm self-effacing, and I want to, because people are saying, hey, how come you're not out there? Well, number one, I wasn't invited.
Yeah, okay.
And number two, there was an event, people approached me about doing 10 shows with my new record.
Yeah.
With the Odyssey. And they said, oh, we're going to have you. We love your music. We want you out there. And so that was the worm on the hook. I bit. And then they said, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we brought Tom out? And it was like, well, you know, yeah, but that's kind of creeping into a different thing.
Right.
You know, you just rubbed my back saying you love my music. And
right.
Now it's, and then so I said, well, OK, because we do music together and I loved it. And I love Tom. And then all of a sudden the ads came out, and it was the Dukes of Hazzard reunion.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And then...
It was sold to you the wrong way.
It was, yeah. And it was Tom and I. And then the visual ad, the commercial came out, and they took the flag off the car.
Okay.
And I said on my candid thing, I said, guys, look, you know, it's not about the flag. It's about the General Lee at this point. And I've got fans for 40 years on this show, 40 years. And if I do something that where you don't have the balls to keep the flag on the car,
yeah.
If I do that, then they're going to turn on me. And I'm going to turn on me because that's not right. So no balls, no bow.
Right. Right,
yeah. I like that.
And so I bowed out of it. Okay. Tom did it. And the very next thing, you know, and you know, God bless Ben Jones, but... You know, there's a little Hugh Grant in the back seat here, right? And so he went and he did it, and he tried to make and he brought a whole bunch. He tried to save the day, and he tried to make it look like I was wrong. That no, of course the flag's on the car. No, I saw the commercials. I have the commercials. They took the flag off the car. So I have a problem with him going in and supporting that group,
right?
While now, if he said, you know, I understand, John, but you know, a buck is a buck, and we got to do it. I'd say, go with God, absolutely.
Yeah,
but don't try to make me look like the bad guy, like you're coming in and saving the day, and I'm wrong, because I'm not.
Right.
Tell me they brought in Coy and Vance, and I will absolutely flip my lid.
Well, Coy was there. Vance has passed.
No, I didn't
Coy,
know that.
Actually, Coy, funny story about Coy. Quick, you guys are looking at your watches. I'm sorry.
No.
Coy is Byron Cherry, and Byron and I, I'm from New York, but my mom worked for IBM, so I spent my three high school years in Atlanta. And Byron Cherry and I would go out and audition for the same thing all the time.
Oh, no kidding.
And occasionally we did commercials together. We were great friends. So before Dukes happened, Byron Cherry and John Schneider were best friends. And when Tom and I didn't come back, we never walked off, we didn't come back, there is a difference.
Was that over was that over merchandising?
Yeah, it was over merchandising.
Okay.
It was over accounting. So everything is always over accounting.
And studio accounting is miraculous in its magical way.
Well, and this was like shoeboxes and pieces of paper. This was before spreadsheets, well, before Excel. It was 1978, 1979. 80, 81.
And you guys were all over the place, and you felt you weren't getting a chunk of the change.
Well, we were supposed to get a split 6%.
Yeah.
And they grossed $230 million, according to them.
Christ.
And, you know, we made like 60 grand.
Yeah.
And so anyway.
So Coy and Vance, they replace you.
Well, they did, but Byron, as soon as we didn't come back and it looked like they were going to do the show without us, I said to the casting folks and to my friends, they were friends at Warner Brothers, I said, hey, there's a guy in Atlanta named Byron Cherry. You know, if you want to replace me with somebody who will be fairly indetectable, go find Byron Cherry. And he had already auditioned for them. And then they did this big show about thousands of people, you know, auditioning for Dukes and all this kind of stuff. And who did they wind up hiring? Byron Cherry.
Yeah. who's the one who, one of them ended up in the movie Liar Liar? Isn't he the guy with the philandering,
I don't know. Was that? I'm not sure, because the other one, Christopher Mayer, passed away.
Okay.
Really, really early. I don't know that Byron was in that. I'm not sure. I cannot confirm or deny that, Your Honor.
So in that case, though, you had character
get
actors.
Get off her, Your Honor.
Great character
Your
actors.
Honor, get off her.
Oh, my goodness.
You had Denver Pyle. You had Sorrell Brooke, right? That was
Book.
His name?
But, Book.
You had Waylon
from
Jennings.
New York.
Did you get to meet?
Oh yeah, I hung out with Waylon a lot. He was great
as a musician. That must have really.
It was tremendous.
Rocked your world.
Yeah, it was great, and he was a terrific man. Yeah, and he was the outlaw and all that kind of stuff. But he had first time I met him, he pulled this little piece of paper out of his wallet that a young man had given him. You know, give this to Bo. You know, so here's like the raunchiest, biggest outlaw in the history of country music, and saved this little piece of paper so that he said, I want to make sure, Hoss, that I did what I told this little fella I was going to do. So he gave me that piece of paper, and I thought that was really
cool. That is cool. Awesome. That is cool.
Yeah, and, you know, he wasn't sleeping a lot in those days. So he kept his word to that little fella, and that's meant a lot to me the whole time.
By the way, we've confirmed Christopher Mayer was in...
He was.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
There we go.
So it's all the weird stuff that pulls it all together.
Yeah.
So from that, obviously, Smallville, we wanted to ask you... Obviously, you did other things as well, a lot of appearances on different shows. Smallville, we've been talking about recently. We have to ask you about this because
I don't know.
Allison Mack, whole Nexium thing.
Yeah, that was wild.
Did that blow your mind?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've known Allison for a long, long time.
Seemed like the sweetest thing.
She is. So she has to have been deceived in some way.
Right.
And I mean completely.
Like a real culty.
Completely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There is no way in the world that Allison would do anything willingly wrong.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, we started, in 2001? So there's just no way. So she had to have had the wool completely pulled over her eyes.
Because I remember when the story first, because I was a huge fan of the show. And I said to press, that's like the All-American Girl Next Door.
Yeah.
That she would be doing that. But this whole...
I'm not even sure what that is. I've tried not to read. I mean, I read a little bit about it when it first came out. But I'm not sure what she's been accused of or...
Well, she turned evidence against the leader of the Nexium cult. And that's why I think she's gonna get off with a lighter situation. But this was the guy who was, bringing these women in, and they were branding them and all this stuff, and it was just weird.
Yeah. You've had so many cast mates and members over the years. It's, how can you keep up on what everybody's doing in their spare time?
Well, I would think. Right? Exactly.
You've got parking lots to wander around.
I've got parking lots.
Well, I've got
apps to follow. I have an app, by the way, the John Schneider app. Get the John Schneider app.
Oh, really?
You will never be lost in a parking lot again. Get the John Schneider app, and all of your troubles will be gone.
Well, some
of mine, because I'll sell you stuff. But it's good stuff.
We as viewers of TV shows have this, kind of fantasy that the people that are on these shows are together all the time. And they know
it's just
everything,
it's what we want to think.
Yeah, it's
what we buy into.
Yeah, so. Well, Tom and I talk quite a bit. Wopat and I talk a lot.
Is that over?
What's that?
Is that over now with the car show thing?
No. I don't know. I don't blame. The only person I have any animosity toward is Ben.
Okay.
Because, I think he owes me an apology. I really do. And he thinks I owe him an apology, but that's just kind of how that is. And it's been like that for a long time.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
Yeah. He was not very welcoming when we came back from our, what we call the strike.
Oh, really?
Anyway, yeah. Yeah. Which is, to me, is sad because I've known Ben a long, long time, too. We did a movie called Million Dollar Dixie Deliverance.
Million Dollar Dixie Deliverance.
Yeah, for Disney back in 75, I think it was, 75 or 76. But there's people who have a political nature.
Yeah.
And people who are excellent at debate. And I've never met anyone smarter than Ben. The problem when you are so incredibly intelligent and you are so incredibly articulate and you have the ability to peel the artichoke –
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that other people can go, wow, I never thought about it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is eventually you start believing your own bull crap.
Yeah.
And that, I think, what you know, politicians who are crooked don't believe they're crooked. They think they are doing it for the greater good.
A la Boss Hogg.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Boss Cooter Hogg. And there's, you know, so there's some of that. So I don't blame him for it.
No,
but
I
just, I do wish there'd be some looking, some soul searching and go, you know, because I've done this. I've just had a line. Johnny Lee plays the balladeer. Excuse me, in the movie Christmas Cars we just did. So the balladeer is what Waylon did.
Yeah.
So Johnny Lee is saying, well, you know, old Denver don't know what he's going to do now.
Yeah. Right.
And at one point he says, folks, I know because I've tried. No matter how you prepare it, crow never tastes good.
Yeah.
And, you know, but occasionally we need to get some bread out, butter it up, and eat a mouthful of crow.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done it a lot in my life, and I'll do it again.
Right.
But I think it's, you know, I think it's Ben's turn at the at the crobecue right now.
Yeah, it's
the crobecue.
It's sage advice. I've seen, you know, in this day and age of social media, I see so many people who are blatantly wrong about something, but they're just not going to give up on it. They're just because their pride keeps them from saying, you know,
well,
what?
Yeah.
I made a mistake, and I was wrong about that.
There's a Waylon said in Dukes, pride is a terrible servant.
Yeah,
and it is. So you know, you got to figure out when you are on what side of that you're on.
That's why it's always wise to not be the first to be outraged by something. Let things breathe. Find out what really happened, and that's kind of the way to go about it.
Yep.
I wanted to ask you about you because we got you. We're going to ask about everything. Damn it, Dancing with the Stars. You were on, and you were on with a.
That's all I got.
What was the experience like that? You were on actually the season
was
god
awful.
He was on the season with Nikki Glaser.
Yeah, it was like hot yoga for 10
was
weeks.
Was it?
Yeah. It was. I lost 26 pounds. Whoa. It was hell.
Who was your partner?
Emma Slater.
Okay.
And it was great and it was hell. It was
super
like,
hot.
It's like a great workout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like a great workout. You dread it and yet you enjoy it while you're doing it and you love it when it's over.
How many weeks was it?
It was 10 weeks, including rehearsal. I think I got the boot on the seventh.
It's not bad. It's not.
No,
a bad
no,
run.
It's not. No, no, yeah. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
With some great people. Milo. I can't remember Milo. Gosh, the Disney. What a great young man he is. The world would be a much better place if we have more kids like him.
He's in the zombie movie, isn't
yes.
he?
Yes. Oh yeah. My gosh, what a great guy. DeMarcus Ware, what a wonderful
piece of crap.
Gentleman.
I hate that guy.
Yeah. Well,
play for the Cowboys.
Yeah. I mean, hey, DeMarcus, come on in. We have a surprise for you.
Right,
all the way from Denver. Come on in here and kick his ass. but yeah, it was a great experience, but it was hell. And now that I'm part of really a small group.
Yeah.
You know, they've done 27. I don't know if they've done another season since then. I don't know.
I think you're 27th.
Right? 27th, yeah. I don't know that they've done a 28th yet.
Did they reach out to your agent and approach
they
you?
They did. They had for years, and I didn't want to do it because I'm not a dancer. And
right,
it was like, you know.
I told you.
That's what they want.
No, but I did great. I thought I did great.
You did. You got
I loved
made a good
it.
Run. Nikki Glaser was out after the first, and she had her on the show, and she's like, I don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah, it was not well, you know, and I'm not sure what happened either after how it turned out.
Yeah, right.
Because you know there were some amazing folks on there.
Yeah,
and I was absolutely outside of my comfort zone, as were many of the people. Juan Pablo was unbelievable. Milo was unbelievable. The young lady, oh gosh, forgive me, I can't remember her name right now.
Is that
does
Mary
all
Lou
the
Redden?
Social
Mary Lou Redden,
my gosh, she did it on a broken foot.
Does it kind of suck though that you have people who come from basically worlds that are direct choral that are they're even dancers? They come in there as dancers and they have the competing. It's really a lot of it is a popularity contest, isn't it? Huh?
Well, I don't really now how it turned out. I'm not really sure what it is.
Yeah,
because. It's supposed to be a split. The judges and the
viewers,
are supposed to be split, basically 50-50. At least that's my understanding. I read the fine print.
Right.
And
you're a lawyer now.
And I know. That's right. Trust me. I'm a lawyer. and I know for a fact that the person who won had the lowest scores of anybody with the judges.
Right.
But
was the most popular with the viewers?
You would... Yeah, but that still should. I mean, no matter what.
If Who's it's, rigging
if
this
it's,
thing?
If it's 50-50,
yeah.
then there's something wrong. And I'm not saying, I mean, I absolutely, I'm thank God I lasted as long as I did.
Yeah.
But there are people on there who should, I think Milo absolutely should have won, without question.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think, I'm not sure if it was a bigger shock that the person who won lasted past the first night or that they won. But I think it's a devastating blow to the show.
Huh.
I really do. Because, well, because you look at all of us on the steps when it was announced, and we're all like, and the winner, and we go like,
really?
Yeah. Talk about somebody who won the humility award and wears it on his forehead.
That's
okay,
wild.
Enough of that. There you go.
I wanted to, we were just talking
you
about.
You know who you are.
About people, you know, fessing up, eating crow, as you were saying. I have a caller on the line.
Yeah.
Who wants to confess. So I'm going to go to Chris. Hi, Chris. You're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, I can't believe you let me do this. John, I have to apologize to you. Back in 1981, a bunch of us were on a senior trip down to Disney in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
You were sitting on the lawn in front of, I guess it was Snow White's castle, with a bunch of girls sitting around you, and you were playing a guitar, and you were singing to them.
Yes.
There was a big wrought iron fence keeping everybody off the lawn while you were doing what you were doing with these girls. The girl I was walking with wanted your picture so bad, she was crying and screaming and shaking. She couldn't get your attention. I said, get your camera ready. Why? What are you going to do? Get your camera ready. She gets her camera up, and I yell, yo, a-hole! And everybody looked at me, including you, and the girl yelled at me for calling you an a-hole instead of taking your picture. So I want to apologize to you for that.
You don't remember that, do you?
Oh, my God. No, I remember that. Ricky Schroeder was on that show, too. Yeah. No, I remember. Because we were actually filming a television show. I wasn't. You made it sound like I just was, like, picking up chicks at Cinderella's castle.
You were cruising Disney?
That's okay. Well, I'm sorry you didn't get your picture. That's. But what a great story. What a great reason not to get your picture.
Well, Chris at least apologized. Yeah.
Thank
cool.
you for that. You inspire I appreciate people it. You may digest the crow and go with God.
Getting back to contests and game shows, there was a show that I think you would be great for called The Masked Singer. I don't know if you saw the first season of that.
I think
on Fox.
Yeah, I think they asked me to do that and I was touring.
Okay.
But I'd love to do that show.
I couldn't believe how much I loved it. When I saw the commercials, I'm like, okay, I'm going to take this one out for a spin, and then I was hooked.
It seemed like a great idea.
Yeah,
it seemed like a great idea to me. I'd love to do that show. So, but now people know.
Speaking of the they know the damn secret now, you can't do it. You're doing a little research on the music stuff. You've done well in the music industry, in the country music industry.
I read an article in Billboard that said of all the TV, you know, thinking about TV guys who then sing, you know, they don't think about it the way. As far as charting and as far as sales and as far as number of records, I beat everybody to death.
And consistently.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Well, you know, I love music.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't take up music because I thought it'd be cool after Dukes of Hazzard to do music. It was like we said, it was going back to my real love of music. And I think people can tell, you know, they can tell when you're lying, and they can tell when you absolutely are head over heels in love with what you're doing. And I love playing music.
Right.
And the music that I pick, I co-write some of the stuff, but I don't write all this music. I find it. And I'm really, really good at recognizing a great song, a great melody, and a great lyric because of my musical theater background. Same thing with Wopat. I know a great lyric, not a good one. I know a great lyric and an exceptional lyric when I hear it.
Yeah.
You're John, holding your finger up.
John's going to be.
You may use the restroom.
Thank you. John's going to be at the Sellersville Theater tonight. Just want to make sure people know about the show. And tell us about this project called the Odyssey. You had mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, the Odyssey. We did 52 songs, and we released a song every Tuesday of 2018 because I'd been out of music for a long, long time. So what the Odyssey project is, it's songs. The older you get, the more I realize that things that feel good feel better. And things that hurt more. So they're not songs about, like, casual love loss. They're songs about grief. They're songs about joy. They're songs about dreams. And it's just a great album project.
It's a lot of songs.
It is. But something that I was so delighted to hear, because I recognize a great lyric, when I was working with MCA, I had the number one songs and things, but the word on the street, come to find out, was that John really knows a great song when he hears it.
Yeah, so, you had an ear for it.
So yeah. So when Keith Stegall is writing a song or any number of amazing songwriters, they want me to hear their songs because a lot of times people will hear a great song, especially. I don't want to rag on young artists, but young artists have a tendency to do more ditty kind of, you know, right. Red Solo Cup song. Not that Toby's young by any means. He broke his song, How Do You Like Me Now, on Dukes of Hazzard reunion movie.
Oh.
But there's a tendency to skew kind of, we used to call it ear candy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
We just had
country.
This talk. Who do you, what do you consider, and I'm putting you on the spot, the most lyrically perfect song?
Miss Emily's Picture.
Huh. Emily's
John Conley. John Conley had a song called Miss Emily's Picture. That or Bobby Braddock wrote a song called He Stopped Loving Her Today.
Yeah, I know that song.
Great song.
Yeah, sure. The Heart of the Matter, I think, the Don Henley
Heart
song.
Heart of the Matter? I think.
They're just talking about plainly written.
Of any, okay, of any it, any
economy
songs
of words,
the,
it just conveys the message and just does it brilliantly.
I have to say, I love you in a song.
Oh, wow.
Jim Croce.
Yeah.
Time in a Bottle.
Brilliant. Yes.
You know, it's hard. Oh, Very Young, Cat Stevens.
Cat Stevens had a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. My gosh. Yeah. Outside of the country world. Yeah. Those are great, great songs.
We had talked about
Center of the Mind.
It was Tom Petty, I Won't Back Down, that we were talking about. Just
Won't Back Down.
Just says it plainly right there.
It's right. It's right there. Yeah. You go and come with us and find the pleasures of the journey to the center of the mind. Come along if you care. Come along if you dare.
Wow.
Come along to the landing side of your mind. This is Ted Nugent.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You're right.
The Amboy Dukes. You know, so again, lyrics. You know, what are they? It's not just. So when I have songs like that in my soul,
right?
When I have God Bless the Child as my, and the David Clayton Thomas version of that, as far as what a country blues, you know, I'm talking about grief, talk about joy. That's the kind of lyric that comes to my mind. So when I hear something, it's got to be that. So that what I found out is that the songwriters in Nashville who were still there knew that when they heard I was going to come back and do some music, it was like, oh, great, somebody is finally going to say, man, I love that song that's been overlooked.
Yeah.
So that's what I asked the songwriters. I said, hey, play me that song that you knew was a smash hit as soon as you wrote it. You know, play me your Live Like You're Dying. That's a great country song. And we're going to do one album. And so many people gave us so many great songs. And I probably listened to 1,200 songs, and we did 52. They're great songs. They're unbelievable. One lyric. I could lose my vision, my eyes no longer see. I could lose my religion and my struggle to believe. That would be a loss. That would be a cross. I'd somehow rise above. But heaven help me if I ever lose your love.
Mm-hmm. That's
Chuck
great stuff.
Cannon. I love Chuck it. Cannon. Yeah.
That's great.
So,
you know who used to do, who was very sort of in the same way, because I'm on a big Sinatra kick now, but Sinatra was not the songwriter, but he always had a massive love for the songwriter.
Yes, sure.
And in concert would always credit the songwriter and arranger.
Yep.
It was very important to him to give the due respect to the creators of the music.
Tony Bennett was that way, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, without the songwriters, we've got nothing.
Yeah. Right.
And a lot of people will they won't really, they won't say, hey, I wrote this. Well, Barry Manilow did not write I Write the Songs, right?
Right. I know.
He wrote Get a Bucket of Chicken, you know. But,
he did. He wrote a whole bunch of jingles.
He did.
But, yeah, I think you should give the songwriters credit. I think you should give the people the credit that write the words you speak on film, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can, if you have the opportunity, you know, say, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think it was Jack Nicholson that said, by the way, man, these aren't my words or my shoes. I show up and do what they tell me.
Right.
John Schneider is going to be at Sellersville.
Where is he?
Sellersville Theater
in the parking
tonight.
Lot.
We have to wrap the interview up, but I did want to ask you a Deuce question real quick.
Okay.
I've been dying to know this. Did you ever at any point in time ride with the stunt guys when the when the General Lee would jump something? Were you ever in it for one of those?
Well, ever is an interesting word.
Okay.
When we were doing the show, no, I never jumped the car.
Of course not. They don't want their star to get hurt.
Get killed.
Get killed or worse.
Yeah.
Delayed.
You did drive.
Killed is insurable.
Yeah.
Delayed, no. But when we did the show, I did a lot of the driving, but I actually, we do a thing at Alicia and I have a studio in Louisiana, a film studio.
Right.
We do a thing for my birthday called Bose Extravaganza. And just this last April, on my birthday is the 8th, but on the 7th, the day before my birthday, Sunday, I jumped the General Lee for the first time.
Wow. No kidding.
There it is. Yep. I jumped the General Lee about 100 feet. I'm going to jump it further next year.
Yeah.
Should I make it that far?
It's pretty terrifying or
no,
cool?
No. My stunt coordinator was one of my stunt doubles. I did all his dialogue on Dukes. And he's the guy. Yeah, it'll make sense.
I got it. I like
he's
it.
The guy that that has done the Fast and Furious franchise.
So
he's that guy.
He knows his stuff.
So he knows his stuff. Excuse me, I felt perfectly safe, and I went as fast as he told me to go and aimed where, you know, it's kind of like reading a drive.
That's
he said, you know,
awesome.
When you hit the ramp, you're not going to be able to see in front of you, so aim for that tree over there.
Okay.
You know, so I did just what he said, and it was fine. It was over before I knew it had even happened.
Yeah.
But we used that jump in Christmas Cars, and next Wednesday we've got two stunt guys coming in. One is the son of the guy that jumped the first General Lee.
Wow.
His name is Gary Baxley. His son's name is Hunter. He's going to jump our Uncle Denver. I play Uncle Denver in honor of Denver Pyle in this movie. He's going to jump the pickup truck, and then this other guy's going to jump a Charger. There's me right there. Jump. That's me in that car.
Get out of here.
That's not some stunt fool. That's me. I'm a fool.
Dude.
In that car. So we're going to jump two vehicles next week, and that'll put the bow, pun intended, the bow on Christmas Cars, and it'll be out on what we call Orange Friday, not Black Friday.
Yes.
It's Orange Friday in honor of the General Lee, the Friday after Thanksgiving. You can only get it at johnschneiderstudios.com. Make it easy on yourself. Get the app. It's called John Schneider. Never get lost in a parking lot again. Get the John Schneider app. Come out to the show tonight. What's the name of the theater? I'm so excited.
Sellersville
it's
Theater.
It's a beautiful
Sellersville
theater.
I hear the sound system is wonderful there. Yeah. And that's what I'm really excited
Everyone
about.
Everyone loves it.
Yep, it's
and we have
place.
The whole band. We're gonna do some great Southern rock, some great, but no covers. If you recognize a song, it means it was mine.
Okay.
Ah. And you probably didn't know it. You go, oh, man, I love that song. When did you do it? No, that's mine, dude. It's my song.
Get out.
But no, you're the star. You're like, sometimes when we touch. No, no. No. No, you're the Jesse's girl. No. No.
No.
That's not me. No.
I'm not Jack Wagner.
Oh, wow.
Remember Jack?
Yeah.
I remember all those guys.
Or David Soul.
David Soul.
You know, yeah. Great song, but yeah, no, I'm not that. Yeah. I had a bunch of songs.
No Hasselhoff, man.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I'm very proud of that. I know David Hasselhoff.
It has been a real joy to meet you, John. Thank you for
David,
being here.
I love you, buddy.
We appreciate it. Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank you very much.
John Schneider.
You know, Kit's always number two at best. Thank you, folks.
Sellersville Theater tonight. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
More podcasts from Preston and Steve available at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.